All right, good evening, everyone. Sorry, a little bit of computer trouble this evening. It looks like we're okay now. All right, so let's begin. Number one, so we find ourselves this week in Parshas Chayisara. So, of course, remember, just a little bit of backdrop. So, you know, of course, in Parshas Chayisara, again, the juxtaposition of Chayisara to the end of Vayera, where the end of Vayera, we read about, again, the Avraham Avinu's willingness and really incredible fortitude and ability to be willing to follow the divine command to offer up his one and only son. The Medrash notes the juxtaposition between Akedas Yitzchak and the death of Sarah Imenu. And the way the Medrash understands, yes.
Somebody's car is beeping and I can barely hear you.
Oh, yeah. And you'd like me to... Wait, Chaya, let me... Okay. If anybody has a car that's beeping. I'm sorry? I can go on? Good. All right. Good. All right. So remember again, so noting the juxtaposition, the Medrash understands that Sari Imenu dies as a result of the shock of the Akedah. Now the truth is, that we spoke about that a number of years ago in a shiur. We're not going to focus on that as much today. Instead, I want to draw your attention to a very nuanced idea. You know, it's interesting. I mentioned this actually when I was speaking on Shabbos morning, that for some reason, this time as I'm going through Bereshis, I find myself much more taken and absorbed with some of the nuanced ideas as opposed to more of the dramatic storylines. Because, you know, there are many dramatic stories in Bereshis. But for whatever reason, it's the nuanced things that are catching my attention this time around. So take a look at number one. Va'Avraham zakin ba'bayamim, v'Hashem beirachas Avraham ba'kol. Avraham was old, advanced in days, and Hashem blessed Avraham with everything. Vayomer Avraham el avdo zekan beisom shabach al hashelo. And Avraham said to his servant, the elder of his household, the one who was in charge of everything, referring to Eliezer, simna yatcha tachas yirechi. Literally, place your hand by my thigh, a shvu. I want him to take an oath. Va'ashbiacha ba'ashem elokei ha'shamayim elokei ha'aretz. And I adjure you, I'm going to make you swear in the name of God, the Lord of the heavens, the Lord of the earth. Asher lo sikach isha livni, libnosak mibnosak na'ani asher anochi yoshe bikirbo. And I'm going to make you swear that you're going to take a wife for my son, but I do not want you to take a wife from among the indigenous girls of the land. Instead, I want you to go back to my family, and I want you to find a suitable spouse, a suitable mate for Yitzchak from among my family. Now, the truth is, there's much to speak about over here. There's an overarching question in terms of why it is exactly that we wait until now. Why did Avraham Avinu wait until now to marry off Yitzchak? The simple answer is because as far as biblically speaking, Yitzchak is very young. Remember again, Yitzchak is not more than 37, 38, 40, maybe a little bit over 40 years old, which again in biblical times is even younger than it is today. So there's a lot to discuss in terms of why Avraham Avinu felt now there was an urgency to go to marry off Yitzchak, but that's not what I want to draw your attention to. Instead, I want to draw your attention to one simple phrase. V'Hashem beirach es Avraham bakol. God blessed Avraham with everything. And what I'd like to try to explore tonight is the meaning of that one word, bakol, with everything. What does it mean? Interestingly enough, we don't find that phraseology anywhere else. We don't find that God blessed Moshe with everything, God blessed Yitzchak with everything, God blessed Yaakov with everything, the Shvatim, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, no one. The only one with whom we find that terminology, that God blessed someone with everything, is with Avraham Avinu. So it behooves us to explore the meaning of Bakol, the meaning of everything. So time allowing, we're going to try to go through five different approaches in understanding what Bakol means. So let's begin in a simple way with the Eben Ezra. Number two, approach number one, source number two. Writes the Eben Ezra, V'Hashem birachas Avraham Bakol, God blessed Avraham with everything, Ba'orech Yomim, V'osher, V'kavod, Ubanim. He blessed Avraham Avinu with everything. What does everything mean, says the Eben Ezra? Orech Yamim, longevity. Osher, wealth. Kavod, is kavod, is honor. Ubanim, and children. It's interesting by the Eben Ezra uses the plural as well. Because Avraham Avinu doesn't just have one son. Avraham Avinu has two sons, Yitzchak and Yishmael. So he's blessed again with everything people want out of life. Longevity, wealth, honor, children. V'zo kol chemdas ha'adam. What more do people want out of life than these very things? So says the Eben Ezra, when the Torah says that God blessed Avraham Avinu with everything, it means that Avraham Avinu had every single blessing in life that people desire. Writes the Ramban in number 3, echoing the same sentiment. He quotes in the first line the Ibn Ezra. If you go to the second line of the Ramban in number 3, V'hiskira kasav zelemar, ki haya shalim bakol. Avraham Avinu lacked for nothing. He had everything. Lo chaser davar, he lacked nothing. The only thing that was missing in his life, zulasi sheyira banim libno, sheyinchlu ma'alasu kvodo. The only thing that Avraham Avinu was missing in life was to see grandchildren. Now remember, what does that mean? That he wants someone to call him Zaidi? What does it mean he needs to see grandchildren? Remember again, for Avraham Avinu, what grandchildren represent is the perpetuation of the Abrahamic dynasty. The only thing, Avraham Avinu has everything that one could want out of life, except to know with absolute certainty that his dynasty will be perpetuated. Therefore, says the Ramban, V'lachin, his avelazeh. See, interestingly enough, according to the Ramban, Torah is almost creating a contrast. On one hand, Avraham Avinu is old, and yet what? Avraham has everything, except the one thing he doesn't have. And what's the one thing he doesn't have? He does not yet see a third generation. He does not yet see, after his son Yitzchak, who is going to be able to go ahead and perpetuate Abrahamic ideals and Abrahamic beliefs. Therefore, immediately after recognizing everything he does have, he also focuses on that which is still absent, i.e. perpetuation, and therefore he dispatches Eliezer to go find the wife for Yitzchak. If you take a look at number 4, so the Sfarno explains, based on this, interestingly enough, we could say we're going to skip the Sfarno for now. We'll come back to that afterwards. Take a look at number 5. So again, first approach just understands Bakol in a literal fashion. God blessed Avraham Avinu with everything. Everything means? Everything. It literally means every blessing that man desires in life, God has conferred upon Avraham. Now remember again, there's another reason also. You might ask yourself, why does the Torah need to tell us this? Why does the Torah need to explain to us that Avraham Avinu was blessed with everything? Because remember, we are nearing the end of Avraham Avinu's life. Avraham dies at the end of Parshas Chayi Sarah. So as we near the end of Avraham Avinu's life, it's almost as if, you find this many times throughout the Chumash, the Torah creates bookends. Remember, how did the story of Avraham Avinu begin? How did it begin? Lech Lecha. And remember again, Lech Lecha, the command to leave, was accompanied by divine promise of incredible blessing. It's almost as if what the Torah is showing us over here, that the Ribono Shel Olam came through. God promised Avraham Avinu everything, and indeed, V'Hashem Beirach Es Avraham Bakol. So that would be the purpose of the inclusion, the kind of the bookend to round out the cycle. All that Avraham was promised ultimately was delivered by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Take a look at 5. So the Ramban has a different approach. The Ramban writes, Avalachirim chichu. Now the Ramban goes in a totally different direction. He says, Avalachirim chichu beferesh hakosuf hazeh, inyan amuk ma'od. Others explain this particular section in a very deep way. Vedarshu bazeh sod misodos haTorah. And they explore over here a secret from among the secrets of the Torah. Va'amru ki bakol tirmoza inyan gadol. The Ramban says, Bakol means something really big. You see, there's a lot of buildup over here, right? Bakol means something very significant. V'hu shiyesh la'kodesh baruch hu mida tikra kol. There is a specific divine attribute called kol, called everything. Mipnei shehi yisod hakol, because God is the foundation of everything. Uban ne'emar, and that's, he quotes the pasuk from Yeshayahu, from Isaiah, Anochi Hashem Osei Kol. I am God who creates all. V'hu shene emar, v'yisron aretz bakolu. Yomar ki yisron ha'aretz v'tova gadola shofea kol be'olam ki ba'avor ki bakoli. So according to the Ramban, bakol, and the Ramban actually is much longer than what I put for you over here on this sheet. I'm just giving you a small section of it. But the Ramban explains very beautifully that what bakol is not a material statement. You see, according to the Ibn Ezra and the Ramban, bakol is a statement that Avraham Avinu has been blessed with material bounty. According to the Ramban, it doesn't mean material bounty at all. Bakol is a spiritual statement. Bakol represents the highest level of understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because God in his essence is, if you had one word to describe God, it would be? hakol, everything. God is everything. In fact, remember, one of the Rambam's Yud Gimel Karim, one of the Rambam's 13 principles of faith, is that everything in the universe requires God, but yet God requires nothing. So meaning, should God cease to exist, should we contemplate that idea, what by definition would happen? Everything else would cease to exist also. There's nothing that could exist without the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, says the Ramban, the Ribono Shel Olam in his essence is called Kol. Therefore, says the Ramban something amazing. V'Hashem Beiraches Avram Bakol means that God blessed Avram Avinu with an incredible understanding of God. That Avram Avinu, and this ties back to something we spoke about 2 weeks ago. Remember? Of course. Right? So 2 weeks ago, remember again, when we spoke about, remember Pashas Lech Lecha, I know you will remember once I tell you, that remember again, we spoke about why God chose Avram Avinu, and he spoke about the idea that Avram Avinu was a mevakish, that Avram Avinu was a seeker. He was someone, remember, we spoke about the timeline of Avram Avinu, from 3 until 37, until 40, 37 years, he's seeking. From 40 until 70, he's gathering disciples. 70 years old, he sets out on the Lech Lecha commandment. Again, the Torah is giving us another bookend. This is another, we're finishing off the chapter of Avram Avinu's life. So how do you end up, because I want to point something out. Remember, this is the last section in the Torah that you see dynamic action on behalf of Avram Avinu. The next time we hear about Avram Avinu in the Parsha is when? Is when his sons bury him. Is when he dies. That's it. So this, what you're seeing over here, is the last time that Avram Avinu does something active. Again, I'm sure it's not the last time he actually did something active in his lifetime. But from the Torah's perspective, this is the last active Abrahamic narrative we have. So says the Ramban, what is the Torah telling us? The Torah is telling us that Avram Avinu finally accomplished what he set out to accomplish. What did he set out to do at the age of 3? What did he set out to do? He set out to find God. He set out to understand God. And here the Torah tells us that at the ripe age of, we'll call it 174, Vahashem Beirach Es Avraham Bakol. He found him. He found him. He finally came to an understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in God's purest and most magnificent essence. A couple of people emailed me after Lech Lecha Shir that based on what we learned at that time, does it mean if you're a Mevakesh, that you're never happy, that you're always seeking, that you always have to find? And the answer is yes, that is part of being a Mevakesh, but it appears that there does come a point where you actually find what you're looking for. That if you try hard enough, you could actually find what it is that you are seeking in life. So a beautiful end, a beautiful conclusion to the Abrahamic story. He begins as a Mevakesh at the age of 3, and he essentially spends the next 172 years continuing to seek, but the amazing part is, he finds. V'Hashem Beirachas Avram Bakol, God finally blessed Avram with the ability to understand the kol, the whole, the totality of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now this helps to answer another interesting secondary question in this section, which we're not going to really spend time on, but I'll just give you a little piece of it. Remember, one of the other questions that comes up in this section, and number one, is why didn't Avram go himself to find a wife for Yitzchak? Why does he dispatch Eliezer? So the simple answer is, he was too old. Right, the simple answer is that he's an old man already. He's an old man, and it's not a simple journey. So therefore, that's a simple answer. But if you look at number 6, so the Netziv says something that fits so beautifully with the Ramban that we just learned. Writes the Netziv in number 6. He says, V'Hashem Yirachas Avram Bakol. Listen to this. Otam al shelo halach ba'atzmo. The truth is, yes, it's true. Probably the primary reason that Avram Avinu did not go to find a wife for Yitzchak is because he was old. But there's an additional reason. What's the additional reason? Listen to this. Mishum shahayu asokav im kol adam. Avram Avinu was always busy. Now, what was he busy with? He was busy with counseling people. What does that mean? Zeba v'shol be'inyane emunah. This one comes along and asks him about matters of faith. Another one has a sick relative, and they come to Avram Avinu to go ahead and daven for them. Fine, skip a little bit. See, he says, Lo haya yachal latzeis mimkomo. So the Netziv says something absolutely amazing. The Netziv says, you know what? Avraham Avinu was unable to go look for a wife for Yitzchak? It's amazing. Too busy. You know, it's also just not for now, but it's an interesting idea how you see this model in leadership, that those who often have to take on the responsibilities for the collective often have to set aside very often their responsibilities to their own family. It's one of the greatest tensions within Jewish leadership, and we see every single great leader throughout the Chumash experiences this same tension. The most acute, of course, is Moshe Rabbeinu, where Moshe Rabbeinu essentially separates himself from his nuclear family in order to go ahead and be there for the collective, but appear for the Netziv as well. So the Netziv explains that Avraham Avinu would go. It's not a question of old age. Avraham Avinu is vibrant. He's a young 174-year-old. So he is ready to go ahead and find a wife for Yitzchak, but he is in such spiritual demand. The people turn to him because they need his guidance. They need his prayers. And now if you fit this back into the Ramban, it makes sense because why Avraham Avinu has reached this new level of spiritual understanding. When people perceive that Avraham Avinu really understands God, you know what happens? The demand for Abrahamic time and attention spikes. Once it's Vahashem Beirachas Avram Bakol, that he's knowledgeable, that he's understanding, that he truly now chaps what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, incredible demand for his time. He can't even go to find a wife for Yitzchak, has to dispatch Eliezer. So now we see already, just in the first two approaches.
I have a question here. Because you said last week,
That was last week. Right. No, it's true. It's you're saying very good. The truth is, remember, that was Rav Kook. The Netziv doesn't agree with that. Yeah, no, you're saying very good, right? Rav Kook, according to Rav Kook, he would understand this whole... Rav Kook understands the whole post-Mila Abrahamic story dramatically different than everyone else. You're 100% right. So remember, what we have over here now is two very different narratives unfolding. So on one hand, you have the Ebenezer and Ramban that understand Bakol is what? That Bakol ultimately is material blessing. Why does the Torah have to tell me that? Because it is the end of the Abrahamic narrative. The story of Lech Lecha began with great promise of incredible material wealth and blessing, and the Torah is telling us God came through. Ramban, Emek, Dover, Netziv, no, nothing to do with material blessing, theological, spiritual enlightenment. Avraham Avinu has been searching for close to 175 years. He has finally found not just God, but he's finally found the essence of God. And because of that, again, he's in such incredible demand. And because of that, ultimately, he must go ahead and send Eliezer. But again, the common denominator between approach number one and approach number two is what? That Hashem v'Hashem birachas Avram bakol is a bookend. That it is the conclusion of the story that began in Lech Lecha. Again, either it's the conclusion by saying material blessing came to fruition, or it's the conclusion by saying spiritual understanding has finally reached its apex, has finally reached its zenith. Take a look at approach number three. Now we come to, I think, what is one of the most interesting approaches. And again, as I always mention every shir, so I'll say it again now as well, whenever I give you multiple approaches, remember, it's not a question of which one is correct or which one. They're all right. You know, the beauty of our Torah is it is so multifaceted and multidimensional that different things speak to us at different times. So, you know, you don't have to worry about, well, which one is it? Because it's all of them. Look at approach number three, number seven in the Gemara. So number seven is an amazing Gemara from Bava Basra. The Gemara says, Vashem Birachas Avram Bakol. God bless Avram Avinu with everything. So remember, everybody's bothered by the same question. My Bakol. What does it mean with everything? So this is actually an incredible Gemara. Rabbi Meir says, you know what it means, Bakol? Shelo hay salobas. What does it mean that God blessed Avraham Avinu with everything? That God did not give Avraham a daughter. That was a blessing. That Avraham Avinu did not have a daughter. Okay? There's more to the story. Rabbi Huda says, Shahay salobas. Rabbi Huda says, no, what was the blessing? The blessing was that he had a daughter. So, okay, so you see a fundamental dispute between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Huda. Rabbi Meir says the blessing was no daughter, that he did not have a daughter. Rabbi Huda says the blessing was that he did have a daughter. Achirim omrim, others say, bas haysalo, he did have a daughter. Not only that, ubakol shma, and her name was Bakol. So what's happening over here? So take a look at number eight. So Rav Shlomo Shnupfel Hirsch has a beautiful interpretation of this Gemara. See, he writes, very interesting, number 8, paragraph A in number 8. Now, surely, nobody could wish to say that the highest blessing can be to have no daughter at all. So Rav Hirsch says, first of all, what a strange thing to even suggest that God blessed Avraham Avinu with everything and everything is not having a daughter. Now, Rav Hirsch says, besides the fact that that sounds strange in a vacuum, it's even stranger in the context. Apart from the fact that these same sages say that no marriage can be considered to have fulfilled its purpose until a son and a daughter have resulted from it. Remember, he points out over here that the mitzvah pir of rivya, the mitzvah of procreation, one only fully fulfills the mitzvah of procreation when one has a son and a daughter. You know, it's a dispute between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai says one fulfills the mitzvah of peru or avu with two sons. Beis Hillel says it's a son and a daughter, and we hold like Beis Hillel. So ask us of Hirsch, how can you say that he was blessed that he didn't have a daughter? The truth is, Avraham Avinu technically did not fulfill the mitzvah period of Arivia. Again, obviously it's before the Torah. So he says, there could be no place more unsuited for making such a statement than just the very chapter, the contents of which Sarah and Rebecca and Rivka serve to glorify woman more than any other. So Rav Hirsch says, the timing of it, if this is true, the timing of it is so strange. Because remember again, this entire parak, remember, most of Parshas Chayisara is focused on two women. It's focused in the beginning on Sara Imenu, and on the end on Rivka Imenu. And the truth is, the men just play support roles. That's very often the case, right? But the men just play support roles, and it's the women who really are the dominant figures in the parasha. So to say in a parasha where the women are the dominant figures, that Avraham Avinu was blessed with everything means that he didn't have a daughter, is strange. Look what the first writes. He says, but all right, we look by paragraph B. But all these sayings would say that Bakol, that God had blessed Avraham in all things, showed itself just in that, i.e. in everything, even in such matters, that without God's special care, would be likely to disturb the happiness of his life. What does this mean? Now, just at this point, where we see Avram's great worry to find a suitable wife for his only son, a worry to settle, which he must have believed that he would have to trust to the quite special dispensation of God, the thought must have come to one's mind, what a worry, what a terrible, almost insolvable problem would have been presented to Abraham if he had a daughter and would have to look for a paragraph C husband for her from out of the Canaanite or Aramaic men. A son of Avram would be able finally to win even a daughter of Canaan or Aram over to himself, to the spirit of Abrahamic home. But for the same reason, Abrahamic daughter would be lost to the spirit and house of Avram through a Canaanite or Aramaic husband. For a son carries on the paternal house, but a daughter goes over to the household of her father-in-law, who encompasses her as a protective while chameha. Avram would have to see his grandchildren born to idol worship if he had a daughter. It was from this grief that Rabbi Meir thinks God's blessing in giving him no daughter saved him. So it's an amazing interpretation. So Rav Hirsch explains, what does it mean when Rabbi Meir says that God blessed Avraham Avinu with everything that he didn't give him a daughter? We see already the difficulty in finding a proper spouse for Yitzchak. Now remember again, Avraham Avinu gives Eliezer very explicit instruction. He tells Eliezer, listen, I want you to go to my family and I want you to try to find a wife for Yitzchak. Now remember, Avraham Avinu also says to Eliezer, if Eliezer can't find a wife for Yitzchak from among Avraham Avinu's family, what does he do then? He takes a girl from one of the indigenous nations, from the Canaanim, or from someone else. Meaning, why? Now, obviously, that's Avraham Avinu's fallback plan. That's plan B. But Avraham Avinu understands, remember, especially in biblical times, so often, again, it was the husband that created the dominant identity of the home. So for a Yitzchak, even if he had to marry a Canaanite girl, Avraham Avinu was confident that he would be able to establish a home predicated on Abrahamic ideals. But had Avraham had a daughter that he would then have to marry off to some man from the indigenous nations, Rav Hirsch says, the statistical probability would have been that what? That she would have assumed her husband's identity. And for Avraham Avinu to see a child that he raised in his own home, then essentially leave the Abrahamic identity, not as much by choice, but more by necessity, would have been a heartbreaking reality for Avram Avinu to contend with. Therefore, says Rabbi Meir, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved Avram Avinu from the difficulty of having to watch a daughter leave Abrahamic values, go on and establish herself in the life in the house of her husband, and therefore spared him that pain by not giving him a daughter. Now, if you look at paragraph D, so remember, that's Rabbi Meir's opinion. But there's a second opinion in the Gemara. The second opinion in the Gemara was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu blessed Avram Avinu with a daughter. So look at paragraph D. Rabbi Yehuda carries on with the same trend of thought, but thinks on the contrary, that even in this point, Avram was blessed, not by the denial of, but by the granting of a daughter. God did give Avram a daughter, and he was blessed by her remaining his, even in her marriage, and thereby formed a bridge between the isolated house of Abraham and the rest of the world. Avram was thereby granted a blessing that would have remained unobtainable in his isolation, to plant the Abrahamic spirit in the non-Abrahamic world. So first, that's something amazing. Because remember, according to Rabbi Yehuda holds, Vashem beirachas Avram bakol, God bless Avram Avinu with everything, means he gave him a daughter. Now, again, remember, obviously, that even though Torah doesn't tell us about that daughter must have gotten married, and that daughter remained committed to the ideals of her family, of her father. And therefore, what did she do? She was able to bring Abrahamic values into essentially a non-Abrahamic home, thereby again creating another base for Abrahamic activity outside of the nuclear family of Avram Avinu. So you see this tension over here between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. So again, Rabbi Meir is saying that the blessing was that Avram Avinu didn't have a daughter, because to have a daughter would have been to watch her simply leave the family and therefore the values, when she would have to marry a man from the indigenous nations. Rabbi Yehuda says, give Avram Avinu a little bit more credit. Avram Avinu raised a strong-willed woman. And a woman, even though she was going to have to marry a man who was not of her belief system, but a woman who was not going to adopt the beliefs of her husband, but instead was going to influence her husband and by extension her family to believe in the way that her father did. Yes?
If he was sending Eliezer to get a wife for Yitzhak from Lavo's house, why couldn't he send
So it could be, the answer was, that there were no young men. That could be the simple answer, that there's just no one. The same way that, again, it doesn't mean like there was a big pool of girls to pick from Lavan's home. It could be that there just wasn't a suitable marriage mate. Again, it's working a little bit backwards. The fact that he didn't do that would seem to indicate that there was no one there. Again, remember, this whole thing is very difficult because we're only operating based on one line in the Talmud, in the Gemara. The Chumash doesn't support this idea that there was a daughter at all. There's absolutely no narrative to back this up. All we have is this statement in the Gemara that Bakol means a daughter. But there's one more piece. Look at E. Remember, there's a third opinion. The third opinion was he had a daughter, and her name was Bakol. Rav Hirsch interprets this in such a dramatically different way. See, he says over here, look at paragraph E. But for that, other opinions say there was no need of an actual concrete daughter. He had a daughter whose name was Bakol. The fact that he was so visibly blessed in every direction, by which the eyes of the world were turned on him, and feelings of respect aroused and notice of his way of life were still stronger means of establishing a bond with the non-Abrahamic world than even a daughter would have been. See, interestingly enough, Rav Hirsch understands the third opinion in the Talmud in a dramatically different way. He understands that that third opinion says that he had a daughter, her name was Bakol, actually means that he didn't have a daughter. But he had the influence as if he would have had a daughter. That the same way that had he had a daughter who maintained her allegiance to her father's values and went out into the world and influenced the world, Avram Avinu had that same influence as if he had a daughter, even though what? He didn't. So again, like I told you, it's an incredible chiddush. It's an incredible novel idea that Rav Hirsch is advancing. But this is our third approach. So Vashem beirachas Avram Bakol means one of three things. Either he was blessed with no daughter, and the blessing, of course, is that he did not have to deal with the anxiety and difficulty of finding a suitable match, which Rav Hirsch seems to feel he would not have been able to find, and saved him the heartache of watching his daughter essentially become assimilated into the indigenous nations of Canaan. Approach number two, he had a daughter, and the greatness, what does it mean God blessed him with everything? That he had a daughter who was strong and remained true to her convictions, that even though she married some Canaanite or Aramaic man, she maintained allegiance to her father's values, raised her children in conformance with those values, and allowed her father's values to be felt outside of just the Abrahamic home, but as well as in the surrounding nations. And approach number three, he had the influence as if he had a daughter who married into the nations, but he didn't actually have a daughter. Avraham Avinu was able to impact, and in fact, if you take a look at number nine, which is approach number four, so this is actually a good segue. Rav Kook, Avram Yitzchak HaKohen Kook, takes a little of a different approach. He writes, this is in a Sefer Oros HaKodesh, she says, V'Hashem Yirachas Avram Bakol. What does it mean that Hashem blessed Avraham with everything? Chesed Shel Avram, who kolel kol bo'eola, V'Chesed Shel Aaron, who merukas b'Yisrael. So it's interesting, what Rav Kook does is Rav Kook contrasts the two almost paradigmatic examples of chesed that we have, right? On one hand, we have Avraham Avinu, who's Midas Chesed, and of course, Aaron HaKohen. Aaron HaKohen is also the paradigm of chesed. Says Rav Kook, so what is the difference between an Avraham and an Aaron? Rav Kook explains, Aaron's influence was only felt within the Jewish people. His influence did not extend beyond the Jewish people, as opposed to Chesed Shel Avraham, who kolel kol ba'e olam. Avram's chesed included all of humanity. So according to Rav Kook, interestingly enough, the Hashem Beiraches Avram Bakol means what? God blessed Avraham with the ability to influence everyone. He blessed Avram with the ability not just to influence his family, not just to influence his friends, not even just to influence those who believed exactly like him, but God blessed Avram Avinu with the ability to go ahead and influence everyone. Hashem Merachas Avram Bakol, which again fits in very beautifully with Rav Hirsch as well. Whether he did that through a daughter, without a daughter, the point is his influence was not confined to a small group of like-minded individuals, but somehow the ripple effect of Avraham Avinu was felt everywhere. And of course, the truth is, we know that because it's amazing to see that Avraham Avinu's teachings, and Avraham Avinu himself is a seminal figure, right? Not just in Judaism, but also in Christianity, also in Islam. So it's quite, again, everybody has their different variations of it. But you want to, you know, not every religion has an Aaron HaKohen, not every religion has a Moshe Rabbeinu, but ultimately, again, an Avraham Avinu, who was such an incredibly impactful figure, not just for us, but for the greater world. V'Hashem Yirachas Avraham Bakol, God bless Avraham Avinu with the ability to influence everything. So now, or everyone, I should say. So these are our first four approaches. Yes? No, Rav Hirsch doesn't address that. It would appear that Rav Hirsch just goes with the simple approach that he was too old. Again, that would be the that seems to be the basic idea as to why Avraham Avinu does not go himself to the house of Lavan to find a wife. The simple answer is he was old. Again, remember the only novel approach so far we've seen is the Netziv, but everyone else just seems to take a simple approach. So let's just take a moment to summarize over here. So we have now four distinct approaches as to what it means that God blessed Avraham Avinu with everything. So remember again, approach number one, Ibn Ezra Ramban, material blessing. Why is this important to tell us? It's the actualization of the divine promise that God made to Avraham Avinu at the beginning of his spiritual journey by Lech Lecha. God promised he was going to give Avraham Avinu everything. He did give Avraham Avinu everything. Approach number two, we saw the Ramban and the Netziv. Bakol represents a heightened level of divine understanding. Avraham Avinu understands the totality of the Ribono Shel Olam. The quest that has been going on for over 170 years has now finally come to an end with an incredible, overwhelming, overarching understanding of the divine by Avraham Avinu. That's the Bakol. Again, like the first approach, it's the bookend. He set out to understand God, and the amazing part is, as well as a beautiful ending, he comes to understand God. Approach number three, Rav Hirsch, Bakol. Either it means no daughter, and therefore saves him the heartache of having to watch her ultimately, we'll call for lack of a better term, intermarry, Or approach number two, he had a daughter. The blessing ultimately is that his influence was able to be felt in the indigenous nations, or no daughter, but ultimately his influence was so great that it was felt as if he had a daughter. Rav Kook, Vashem Rachasavra Makol, God blesses Avraham Avinu with the ability not just to influence a small group, not just to influence a family, but to have an impact upon everyone whom he touched. Which now brings us to the last approach for tonight. So take a look at number 10. So this is from Rav Suratskin, the Azayim Torah. And Rav Suratskin writes the following. He says, and here we're going to see something that I think is really, really amazing. Number 10, Vashimirachas Avram Bakal, Kol Yamav Shal Avram Avinu, Lo Haisa Birchaso Shalvaso Shalema. In all of the years of Avram Avinu's life, his blessing, and Shalvaso means what? His peace or tranquility was never complete. Ki kimat tamid nimtza be'ezot tzara. Because remember, you know, it's interesting. We don't know everything about Avraham Avinu's life. But what we do know, there's one, if you had to describe Avraham Avinu's existence in one word, you would call it?
Tumultuous.
That's a good word, right? Tumultuous or turbulent, right? It's constant upheaval. It's always difficulty to difficulty, challenge to challenge, nisayon. Avraham Avinu, you know, we often say Avraham Avinu had 10 nisyonos, so that's fine, he had 10 nisyonos, but the difference, you have to remember that those 10 nisyonos pretty much stretched almost throughout the entirety of his life. He has no tranquility, he has no inner quietude, there's no peace. But from this point and on, now what does he mean from this point and on? Look what he writes in the parentheses. Mishenigmaru ha'asara nisyonos. See, says the Zayim Torah, what's happened now is the 10 tests are over. The 10 tests are finished. Haisalo shalva gimur. Now remember again, before we translate that phrase, there's a dispute as to how to number the tests, and there's a dispute as to what test number 10 was. Some say test number 10 was Akedas Yitzchak, the binding of Yitzchak. Others say test number 10 was the need to purchase a burial plot for Sarah. Because even though God had promised him Canaan, that Canaan was his, the notion that he had to bargain, he had to haggle with Ephron the Chiti was another nisayon. Either way, so that whatever, we don't have to weigh on that now. But the point is, either way you come out on that, the nisyonos, the tests, are behind him. He's accomplished what he has to accomplish in life. Therefore, haisa lo shalva gimura. For the first time in Avraham Avinu's life, he actually finds peace. He actually finds tranquility. Uberchaso haya bakol. And you know, when you have peace, and you have inner peace, and you have inner tranquility, you have everything. He says, "Umatzasi b'tosefta v'china tamotzi Avraham Avinu shebaruch hamakom b'ziknaso yosef ben arusa." And amazingly enough, he quotes it from the Tosefta that says that God blessed Avraham Avinu more in his old age than he did in his youth. Because in his youth, his life was turbulent, his life was tumultuous, his life was difficult, his life was challenge after challenge after challenge. He rose to all of them. But now in his old age, the nisyonos, the difficulties, the challenges, are behind him. And he has, for the first time perhaps in his entire life, a sense of tranquility and a sense of inner peace. That's v'Hashem beirach es Avram bakol. If you have inner peace and tranquility, you have everything in life. And in fact, if you look at number 11, so the Medrash really quotes a very similar idea. The Medrash writes, V'Hashem Yirach HaSavra Bakol, Rabbi Levi B'Shem Rabbi Chama Bar Chanina Amar, Shelo Chazar V'Nasa Oso. That what happened over here, God did not test Avraham Avinu again. The tests are over. The nisyonos are over. You know, it's interesting. It almost kind of dovetails what we learned before. The same way that he found God like he kind of reached the finish line in his entire career being a mavakesh, of being a seeker. The truth is, again, now his difficulties and challenges are behind him as well. And finally, Kadosh Baruch Hu said, I've tested you. I've given you all the challenges I'm going to give you. And now Avraham Avinu has a sense of peace. Now look at number 12. Hold on 1 second. Take a look at number 12. So writes the Toldos Yitzchak. Now Toldos Yitzchak is Rav Yitzchak ben Yosef Karon. You can see a little biography of him over here. So he says the following. So the Toldos Yitzchak makes a very interesting observation. He says, L'fishi yesh zekenim, l'sibas tzoros u'misos banim, v'chaloim roim, v'anios. You know, there are some people in life that prematurely age because of all of their life challenges. So there are some people that may be biologically young, but because of the difficulty of their circumstances, it ages them. It ages them. For example, some people, because of their tzaras, their difficulties, misas barim, God forbid a person loses a child, chaloim, sickness, anios, poverty. So those things could age a person. Those things could take a toll on an individual. Laze amar, interestingly enough, laze amar, lo haya zakein, ela mitzad sheba bayamim, shelisiba saros lo haya zakein, vahashem beirach es Avraham bakol. So Tolus Yitzchak says something very interesting. You know, just to give an example of this, so the Navi, when it speaks about the death of Shmuel HaNavi, says that Shmuel HaNavi had become old. He'd become old. It was right before he dies. And the Gemara says he'd become old. Shmuel HaNavi was how old when he died? 52 years old. It's not old. So what do you mean he's become old? And the Gemara says Shmuel HaNavi, his circumstances aged him. He had two sons who were not doing what they were supposed to be doing. That took a toll on him as a parent. He ultimately anointed Shaul. Shaul was a failed king. He's got all of these things, all of these failures that he feels are weighing on his head. And ultimately, it aged him. It ultimately killed him. That's really what happened. So says the Tolus Yitzchak something amazing. That a person could be old, not because of their age, but a person could age as a result of the difficulty of their life circumstances. So what's happening over here, says the Tolus Yitzchak, that the Torah is telling us, the Avraham Zakein Ba Bayamim. Avraham Avinu is old. But lest you think that he's old because of the difficulty of his circumstances, because of his tzaras. And remember, Avraham Avinu has a boatload of tzaras. Avraham Avinu has a very difficult life. But don't think that those things aged him. When we say that Avraham Avinu is old, it's why? Baba Yomim. Literally, it is a biological, it is an actual age statement, but his life experiences did not age him. What the Tolus Yitzchak is driving at is something amazing. Despite the fact that Avraham Avinu has so many sorrows, despite the fact that he had such a difficult life with so much upheaval, those sorrows did not prematurely age him. Why not? Take a look at 13, and we're going to tie this all together. So the Medrash writes the following. V'Hashem beirachas Avram bakol. Bechol minei bracha harbe. God bless Avraham Avinu with so many types of blessing. Shahayu lo avadim unechasim. He had servants and property. Fi yachol lishloach shluchim harbe. He could dispatch messengers and servants wherever he wanted. Umidrasha shenasan lo bas. And he had a daughter, like we saw from the Gemara. Fi shlito biyitzro. And shlito biyitzro literally means what? He ruled over his Yetzer Hara. We're going to define that in just a moment. Va'asa tshuva b'yama, va'asa Yishmael tshuva b'yamav, and he even saw Yishmael. He saw Yishmael, the expelled child, go ahead and do tshuva. So what is Medrash saying? What's interesting about this Medrash is summarizing everything we just learned tonight. That what does Va'asha merachas Avram bakol mean? Material wealth, right? Hishlito b'yitzro means spiritual accomplishment. He was able to master himself because of his new understanding of God. He has, again, the family comes back together because Yishmael does tshuva. And look at this next phrase. V'lo chiser klum. We'll skip that for just a moment. V'lo niso ov, and also God did not test him anymore. So really, in number 13, I could have given you the whole shiur in 3 minutes just by reading to you that medrash. But what I'm showing you from that medrash is the medrash says a very dramatic statement. I apologize, I didn't underline it. You should underline it. The phrase, v'lo chiser klum. Avraham Avinu lacked absolutely nothing. So when I saw this medrash, when I saw that phrase, I said, what are you talking about? V'lo chiser klum. Avraham Avinu is missing a lot. Avraham Avinu left his family. Avraham Avinu cut himself off from his family. He left an aging, ailing father behind. Does Avraham Avinu know what happened to his father? Presumably by now his father's dead. I mean, he must have died. Did Avraham Avinu ever go to Levaya? Did he visit the grave? Does he know what's happening again with the rest of his mishpacha, with his cousins, with the extended family? Probably not, because he had to cut himself off from them. You understand, we read these stories and we just take it for granted. Lech lecha, Avraham Avinu went. He just, of course, Avraham Avinu. The pain that's involved in cutting oneself off from family I can't even make that point strong enough. Furthermore, as Tanya just mentioned as well, what did we just read about at the beginning of the parasha? Sarah Aminu died. Now remember, again, Sari, it's not just a Sari Imenu died, but if you go with the Midrashic approach, Sari Imenu died why? Died why? Because of the Akeda. Which means that if you are Avram Avinu, how do you feel about your wife's death? Some level, or maybe a great level of responsibility. Remember, Avram Avinu leaves the house without saying a word to Sarah. Avram Avinu leaves the house without telling her about the plan, without including her what's going on. So he says goodbye to her, and he never, ever sees her again. And he has to live the rest of his life with the guilt, a feeling that perhaps something I did caused my wife's premature demise. Granted, he was following the word of God. He was a good soldier, a good servant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to do, and he did. But that doesn't erase the guilt. And there are so many, he had to expel Yishmael. You know, it's very nice that Yishmael did tshuva. And it's very nice that Yishmael came back on the derech. But do you not understand the pain that he must have got? Remember, Avraham Avinu did not want to go ahead and expel Yishmael. How do we know that? Because God had to intervene. God had to tell Avraham Avinu, Kol asher tomar elecha sarah shma bikola. You have to listen to her. And the Medrash says, you know why? Think about it. If there was one person who would never, ever kick an off the derech child out of his house, it would be who? Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu was the one who, his whole job was kiruv, right? His whole job was bringing people closer. Do you understand what that means? You know, people think that the Akedah was the big nisan for Avraham Avinu because he had to go against his midah of chesed. I want to tell you something. Avraham Avinu had two Akedos, right? He had Akedas Yitzchak and Akedas Yishmael. They just looked different ways. Akedas Yitzchak was to kill his son. Akedas Yishmael was to kick out his son. And I guarantee for Avraham Avinu, they were both equally as difficult and turbulent. So what do you mean, lo chiser klum? What do you mean he lacked nothing? He lacked so much in his life. I think what the Medrash is trying to teach us is something absolutely amazing. The Medrash is saying is that at the end of the day, in life, you have a choice. You have a choice. Do you focus on what you have? Bless you. Do you focus on what you have or do you focus on what you lack? Everyone lacks something. No one has everything. And the mistake that so many of us make in life is that we focus on that which is absent. We focus on that which we lack. We focus on that which we want, so rather we pine for. I'm talking about good things that we really want. And that becomes the sole focus of our entire life. And we forget about all of the incredible, beautiful blessing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us. Does Avraham Avinu have everything in life?
No.
Of course not. No one does. So how could the Medrash say, V'lo chiser klum, he lacked nothing? The Torah is giving us a window into Abrahamitic perspective. That from Abrahamitic perspective, V'Hashem beirach es Avraham bakal, I think what the Medrash is saying is like this, V'Hashem beirach es Avraham bakal is not a statement about what God did for Avraham. It's a statement about how Avraham felt about God. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I have to tell you, I feel like I have everything. But Avram, do you have everything? No, but that doesn't matter. Because I choose to focus on what I have and not to spend my time focusing on what I lack. And when you make that conscious decision in life, then a person rises to the level ultimately for the chiser klum. Now, why is this important? Let's go back. Because now we understand what's happening again in number 10, the Zayma Torah and the Medrash. What does it mean? V'Hashem erach es Avraham bakol, life tranquility. Do you know where true life tranquility comes from? Okay? It's not medication, right? It could help, right? It's not a vacation. It's not, life tranquility comes when you find a sense of happiness and contentment with what you have and the life you've been given. When you're able to accept the imperfections of your existence, when you're able to focus on the beautiful blessings you have and not spend all of your energy pining for what you lack, that's when true life tranquility comes. And there's something amazing that's happening. Because, you know, it's very affirming. Because Avraham Avinu apparently did not accomplish this in his youth. He apparently only accomplished this in his old age. V'Hashem beirachas Avraham bakol. Avram finally finds a sense of life tranquility. Why? Because whatever the reason, at this point in his life, He chooses to focus on what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given him, the blessings he's been given, and not that which he lacks. The moment that he chooses to look at his life as Vashem Berach Asav V'Makol, God has given me so much, is the moment that he is endowed with this incredible life tranquility. So if we bring this all together, everything is correct. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Avraham Avinu material wealth, and he gave Avraham Avinu spiritual wealth, and maybe he gave him a daughter, maybe he didn't give him a daughter, maybe he had it as if he had a daughter, he had an influence that extended beyond his nuclear family onto all of mankind. But most importantly is that Avraham Avinu finds a sense of inner peace. Avraham Avinu finds a sense of inner calm, a sense of incredible equilibrium. Avraham Avinu finds a sense of incredible happiness that apparently he was unable to find in youth, because when we're younger, we always want, and we become so fixated on that which we want and that which we lack that we have blinders onto all the other beautiful blessings we have in life. Avraham Avinu teaches us that even when you lack things in life, you can still feel like a person who is lo chaser klum. Even if you lack a lot, you can still feel like a person who lacks nothing if you choose to put your attention and your focus on all the beautiful blessings that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has conveyed. All right, we'll stop over here for tonight, and Amir Tashem will pick up next week with all this. Yes. His wife is dead.